I'm not 100% sure what that is. What I think it probably is that we have asked if we could bring on part-time mechanics to fill in because we're having trouble staffing with full-time positions. So we've had a couple people who have left the city to go take other jobs who have expressed interest in coming back and working with us on the weekends. So I think that that's what that might be reflected in there.
Okay, if you could just confirm that so we're all on the same page, please. And your overtime budget has increased substantially from $90,000 to $150,000. And why is that jump necessary?
To go back to your previous question, again, Christy helped me out, just confirm that that is a result of asking for a part-time.
Okay.
And on a similar note, why are we paying so much overtime? Again, it's a function of not having enough full-time mechanics. So we're really struggling to get the work done that we need to get done in the standard 40 hours. So we've been leaning on the guys pretty heavily to, you know, work weekends and later at night to accommodate the needs that we have in the garage.
All right. And lead custodian, that is up beyond the 2.75. So I assume it's because there's a step increase in there or something.
Okay. Sorry.
Lead custodian. It was last year $66,018. And this year it's at $68,358. At 2.75, it'd be $67,833. So is that a result of something other than contractual?
Yeah, I would say that that's probably a function of the longevity increase.
And building maintenance repair, this is all in building maintenance on job code 209. That actually has dropped quite a bit. Is that the same reason for you have a new hire in that position?
That's correct, yes.
Okay. In public works on Thayer Arena, seasonal rink guards, that is up more than the 2.75. Do they come under the same contractual requirements? Are they part of the union?
No, they're part-time. So that's a function of an increase in minimum wage. And also just kind of acknowledging the need for them more often as we have more events at the rink.
Mm-hmm. I see. Those are my questions. Thank you.
Any Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Director, I have a question on the chemical rodent control. Now, according to this, it says that we only spend like $2,200. This has been one of the worst years we've had with rodents. And you're asking for $6,000. You think that's going to be enough? Because I'm not the only one who's having problems with rats right now.
Yeah, I think the issue that we are having more with it's just getting out to all the locations, you know, so purchasing the chemicals is one thing, but getting out to the physical locations with the bait boxes, that's kind of what we're not struggling with, but we're very busy with that. So yeah, we anticipate that's going to be, plenty of money for the, you know, the material that we use in the bait boxes.
Okay. It says here, we only have one carpenter in the city.
Yeah, we only have one carpenter position, but they're a team, and so this kind of carpenter, and then
what's Greg's position? Consistent labor. I forget.
But yeah, there are two people that work in tandem, and it's kind of, you know, one of them's the carpenter, and then it's kind of the carpenter's assistant. They work together on things.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hey, Director. One of the things I was hoping maybe we'd see in the Thayer and McDermott, after all the rework we've done, is maybe some savings in some area after having replaced just about everything in both of those two buildings. I don't know. Are you sandbagging here, or do you think we're not? We won't see any decline, you know, in either energy savings or being more efficient or less repairs or.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're kind of getting to the point now where we can move into more of a preventive maintenance mode. That's our hope anyway. You know, when we took over the facility two and a half years ago, you know, it had fallen into disrepair in a number of ways. And we've worked hard, and you guys know that we've come back here several times asking for, you know, your assistance to help us bring it back to where it is. And we're confident now that we're to the point where we are getting into more of a preventive maintenance only. We're putting out less fires and that kind of stuff, not having leaks and that type of thing. So to answer your question, I do feel like in the future, next budget cycle, we'll start to see, and we'll definitely be here less asking for stuff associated with the rink.
Okay. Thank you, Director.
Director, I'm curious as to why you eliminated job code 208, which is HVAC plumbing maintenance person.
We eliminated it primarily because it was only budgeted at $50,000, and there was no way we were going to get someone to fit the job description we had at that rate. So we essentially took that $50,000, and this is our recommendation, that we eliminate that position and move $25,000 of that into our service contract, because we anticipate, obviously, we have HVAC needs. The service contract is how we address those HVAC needs with an outside vendor. So that was kind of the rationale for that move.
And did we actually have that position filled last year?
No, that position hasn't been filled.
Jeez.
2018 was the last time that position was filled.
And off the top of your head, do you know what you spent on HVAC and plumbing and outside services last year?
No, not off the top of my head.
And if you're moving $25,000 into the services line, so I would just point out that would be independent contractors, right? So we don't have any, we don't have health care, we don't have pensions, we don't have any benefits associated to that at all, right?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
One quick follow-up on the asphalt, just for a sense of scale. So with about 400 miles of road in Warwick and roads being needed to be milled about every 8 to 12 years, but let's say that we're behind, just practically speaking, there's a lot of roads we're not getting to, so maybe we revise that to 20 years. I'm just thinking in my head that there are literally some roads in Ward 2 that haven't been paved in my lifetime, and I'm 37 years old. So 400 miles of roads divided by, say, 20 years, and cut that number in half again, because figure that maybe on a lot of these roads we can get maybe 50% reimbursement from other utilities doing utility work at the same time that the roads are being repaved, and then pitching in 50%. That would still, by my incredibly rough, very much ballpark math, come out to, in order to meet that goal, about $10 million per year. And I just look at that compared to us using $3 million in the one-time funds, and having a regular city budget of $80,000 for asphalt, and I'm thinking to myself that not only when these funds run out, but even right now with $3 million, I think that the $3 million is unsustainable to not only keep us, keep the status quo on the status of the roads, but to try to improve or maintain the status of the roads. Seems to me that perhaps in order to maintain or improve the status of the roads, it may take annually $10 million or more. Would that be a fair general ballpark?
I would love to have $10 million a year to pave with, but I don't think that's fair. When we start to look at different roads, there are other pavement preservation techniques. You know, you can go out and crack seal a road and it costs pennies on the dollar, and that buys you 3 to 5 years on that road. We tried the new technique, the micro-surfacing, which we did on Sandy Lane and Long Street. That's about a quarter of the price to pave a road, and that'll give you 5 to 7 years. So what you need to do is you need to have a lot of different bullets in your gun to kind of address the needs that need to be addressed. And that's how you pull that money out. And I think ideally, you know, the number is your $10 million number. The math that I do, you know, if we wanted to have brand new roads all throughout the city, you're probably at closer to 6. But that's not realistic in any municipality to have perfect roads all over the city. You know, so 3 to 4, and using the different techniques and taking a scientific approach to it, I think we can manage that.
That's really good to hear. Taking a look at the condition of the roads, I know, well, not to use a cliche, but the budget is the set of the city's priorities, just like a family's budget is how it shows its priorities. And I know walking around the ward, one of the top three issues that I generally hear about, most years it's been the number one issue. I suppose in more recent years I've been hearing more and more about schools and taxes, but most years I've been on the council, the number one concern that people bring up to me when I knock on the door is about the roads. So it's good to hear that we may be able to get the roads a little better managed with using those different smarter techniques. And I really appreciate you bringing that innovation to the DPW. Thank you for your time.
So not for tonight, because this is not a reasonable request for tonight. Is it possible for you to put together the amount of money we spent, at least for this year, if not the more years, the better, on the HVAC slash the duties that HVAC slash plumbing maintenance person would have done that we ended up spending?
We can put together money that we spent on HVAC stuff, but obviously it's tough to correlate what someone on staff could have done versus what the outside vendor could have done. But we can pull something like that together, I think.
Much appreciated. Yeah, just to the extent possible. Nothing Herculean is necessary. Thank you.
Sorry, just to touch on that again, I don't know what I'd do without Christy, but our bid cap on that is $70,000. So that's kind of what we anticipate spending on HVAC type operations.
Got it. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the public on the public works budget? Please come up to the microphone. The sergeant of arms will turn it on for you, and please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. President. Peter Becker, coordinator for Friends of Salter Grove, with a question for Director Earls. Which would be the line item that would cover repair and maintenance of public park facilities? Would that be 70281?
I think that it would have to depend on what the, it would depend on the scope and the type of work.
So in 2022, we requested that there be a replacement of the wood chips on the playground at Salter Grove because the gravel basement layer had been exposed. There was no response to that, and fearing for the safety of the children, we spent $4,100 purchasing and installing the chips and rubber safety mats underneath the equipment at that time. We've tried unsuccessfully to recover those funds since then because we prefer to use our grants for improvements to the parks, innovations, and so forth. We don't think that we should be responsible for ordinary maintenance. So my question really boils down to, is $35,000 enough to cover all the parks for simple day-to-day maintenance activities, replacement of materials, replacement of broken equipment, and so forth?
That's a tough one to answer. I can't say exactly, but is it enough to do all the Cadillac of every, you know, every playground? No, probably not, you know, but is it enough to kind of keep playgrounds functioning in a safe manner? Perhaps, but again, you know, it's the kind of thing that we can't thoroughly address without knowing what the scope is. You know, $4,000 worth of mulch at one playground is, you know, $50,000 worth of mulch at 12 playgrounds. You know, that's kind of what we're up against. You know, we are doing our best to manage within the budget. Again, $10 million for paving roads would be fantastic. You know, $300,000 for parks, that would be great too. But we have to manage what's within our budget.
The budget is being discussed tonight, and so what I'm suggesting is that a correct amount should be appropriated for those basic day-to-day maintenance activities. We're talking about installing a new skating rink, which will have even higher maintenance costs and replacement costs and so forth. And at this point, it would be my judgment that the city is not meeting its obligations to provide a safe environment by maintaining the parks appropriately. This is not just our experience, but the experience of other Friends of Parks groups that I've spoken with.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any additional questions from members of the public on the Public Works budget? Councilman Sanapi.
This is more a point of information that some of the, at least one park in particular, the local entity that's handling it for the community actually opted out of the more expensive tactic of the pour-in-place rubber, which doesn't require the constant maintenance, has a crazy long warranty. It's better in every way. It's just way more expensive on the initial investment. And I know at least one community group opted out of that in favor of getting like more improvements to the park elsewise, and instead went with the wood chips on the understanding that they would be responsible for replacing them as opposed to the city. There's all sorts of problems with that, but that's something to keep in mind going forward if and when we do more park improvements. I know even in Ward 8, it's coming up, and that's something we went out of our way to avoid having be an issue, because I suspect one or more ongoing park issues is exactly that problem, where a community group said they would handle it, and then groups change, leadership changes, and now they feel that the city should. So just keep in mind going forward.
Thank you, Councilman. We will now move to the personnel budget. Personnel budget can be found on page 13. Are there any questions from members of the council on the personnel budget, page 13? Any questions from members of the public on the personnel budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you. Director, what's the reason for the increase in temporary services of 20%?
That's just, we're just trying to calculate what our temporary services would require during the year. We have a vacancy. You'll see one position there that we have in the personnel supplement is vacant, and we're actually go back and forth as to the need to fill that based on some improvements in efficiency. So I pumped up both, I think, the overtime and the temporary services a small amount. But if we hire somebody, we won't need those.
Are you currently using anyone in temporary services now?
We're using, we have hired somebody on the 75-day rule, and for some reason that's come out of our salary line. I think because the person was in, it was 75-day rule is a person who was retired, and you can rehire them back for up to 75 days a year on the temporary payroll or on a temporary basis, no benefits, no overtime. And we've been utilizing someone for about 10 hours a week. That's come out of our salary line. Not sure why, but I think it's because we have those vacancies.
So are you using one person in temporary services and personnel or two?
One.
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 Have you used more than one this past year?
No, it's always been one. I think we had one person who left, and then we brought on someone else. I can't remember if that was this fiscal year or last. But there's only been one body in the office, and we've had a period of not using it at all for when one person left and another one came back.
And how long was that person employed?
I don't know. You mean the prior temp person?
No, that the temp person that you're speaking to now, how long has that person been a temp? What's the duration of time?
Began, I believe, at the end of the last fiscal year. I don't have the actual date as that she started. She works about 10 hours a week.
So it's close to a year.
No, I don't know. She hasn't been here for a year.
Oh, I thought you said she started just prior to the new fiscal year.
No, I'm sorry, I might have misstated. I don't know when she started. I don't know if it was beginning before the fiscal year. No, she did. She did. I'm sorry, you're correct. She started before the beginning of this current. I'm getting confused on it. I'd have to look it up.
Okay. And you said something interesting, that the monies paid to that temporary service person was being deducted out of your salary line item. How long had that been going on before it was noticed?
I don't know. I'd say probably during the budget process, I noticed it.
And that money that was coming out of the salary line item, does that mean the person in temporary services was getting a payroll check, or was that person still getting what I refer to as an independent contractor check?
Well, people on the temporary payroll are not independent contractors. If you're on the temporary payroll, you get a check just like our rink guards or like our summer help. They get a check pulled from the same funds. It's a paycheck.
Okay.
They'll get a W-2. I haven't used an independent contractor.
Do they receive the same payroll deductions as any other payroll employee?
Well, no. Taxes would be taken out in the usual fashion, but there's no deductions. They're not benefits eligible. So a temporary employee, there's no deductions for health insurance, pension. There's a couple of other things that a regular full-time employee has deducted. These would not. These are temporary. They get just basically FICA and state and federal.
Okay. And what is the hourly rate that we pay this particular temporary employee?
I'd have to look that up. I think it's between 15 to 20. I'd have to look it up.
Between though. $15 and $20 per hour?
I'd have to look that up.
Okay, could you get back to me on that, please?
Sure.
That's all I have, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Any additional questions on the personnel budget? Any questions from members of the public on the personnel budget? Hearing none, we will move to the employee benefits budget. Employee benefits budget can be found on page 51. Are there any questions from members of the council on the employees benefit budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Bear with me 1 minute, Mr. President. So, with the employee benefits, with regard to healthcare benefits, is it accurate to say that healthcare has gone up about 8%?
Yeah, excuse me, yes.
And we have not increased the copay at all on healthcare.
The health insurance copays are a percentage, so they'll go up about 8%. I think it's 8.1%, really.
However, this council recently approved a contract, which I voted no on, for the fire department, reducing the cap on the increase of healthcare from 10% to 5%. Having said that, what that means is the additional 3% increase that is taking place on healthcare is going to be borne by the taxpayers. Is that correct?
The cost increase, if there's a cap for the firefighters, yes, they will not pay as much as the...
Do you have any idea how much that amount is?
The difference between the 3 and the 5 and the 8, no.
So I think these questions are particularly pertinent to where we are today. The increased costs in spending throughout this budget and budgets over the years is astronomical. We have situations where the cost of healthcare increases beyond what we can pass on to the employees. So that means the taxpayers are left paying the bill. The very taxpayers who don't have the luxury of getting the raises that we're seeing being proposed in this budget this evening. And that is particularly concerning to me, and it has been for a very long time. As I said earlier, this city doesn't have a revenue problem. It's got a spending problem. And I don't know how to answer my constituents when they ask me who's paying the bill, who's picking up the tab, how are we supposed to be expected to pay for this? And we continue having these cost increases, whether it be in healthcare, whether it be in prescription drugs, whether it be in pensions, and is being absorbed, the additional portions, by the taxpayers. We need to tackle this issue with these employee benefits. It's out of control. It's unaffordable. And the taxpayers cannot pay for this. So when I am sitting back in the next day or so, considering the amendments that I will be proposing, I certainly will be taking a look at this particular item as well as several others. Mr. President, that's all I have on this issue for the
Councilman Lattiser. I'd like to add some additional information with respect to your question you raised and your understandable concern. You know, we didn't expect a year ago plus when the contract was negotiated. We obviously rolled the dice on the question of whether or not healthcare and inflation would exceed 5%. It is unusual. We have been obviously pre the current economic conditions, the annual increases in our healthcare costs were in the 0 to 2% range. We had one year in which it was less than, it was a negative 1% or so. So yeah, this was a blip on the screen. Do we know, obviously, do we have a crystal ball knowing where it's going in the future? Yeah, even the Federal Reserve doesn't know that. But what I would say in terms of hard numbers, because that's, you're looking for some data, that was part of a contract negotiation which were trade-offs with what we were looking for and what our priorities were as administration. The council obviously approved the contract. We were looking for an OPEB, employee OPEB contribution. We did get language that's provisional, that the employees will pay 2% of their salaries towards OPEB, provisional on the other employee groups when their contracts come up for negotiation, agreeing to the same. If we're successful with those future negotiations with police and municipal union, and then it obviously would also apply to the non-union employees. With fire alone, given the salary budget of $18+ million in FY24, that 2% amounts to about $380,000 in OPEB contributions. The cost of the estimated cost of the difference between a 5% and 8% employee contribution towards healthcare, given the experience we have this year, is about $20,000. Hopefully that's a one-time event. We don't know whether that's the case or not. But so we paid $20,000. We're going to be paying $20,000 in FY24 for the potential to be saving annually and increasing based on increase in salaries in upwards of $380,000 a year. So we didn't expect to be get caught this year, but I think it's a good bet if we can get the $380,000 in OPEB contributions.
Well, thank you for that, Chief. As you know, I disagreed with that OPEB issue then, and I still disagree with it now. And I would remind everyone that a couple of years ago, we had this discussion about healthcare. And we had the discussion that during COVID, people were not going to their primary cares. They weren't doing elective procedures. They weren't doing elective surgeries. Many people weren't even going to the dentist. So the writing was on the wall that when this COVID got past us, that healthcare costs would increase significantly. Over the course of my career, I have seen healthcare costs increase 19, 20, and 21%. We knew that those healthcare costs were going to come home to roost, and we knew it long before we voted on contracts. Mr. Newton has suggested that we put somewhere in the vicinity of $68 million into this OPEB trust over the next 9 years. That's more than what we have increased our costs to the taxpayers over the last 20. Last 20 was about 70 million. Now we're talking about increasing it to 68 million in 9 years. But yet, Mr. Newton says that he did not look or calculate at the other needs of the city or future spending of the city. How do you explain this to the taxpayers? How do you explain these kind of things to the senior citizens, to the veterans, to the disabled veterans, to the veterans that are on fixed income, the people that are on fixed income, the people have survived through the COVID, the business community,
yep, the councilman,
struggled.
If we just answer what's in the budget.
Excuse me,
this
is the budget, Mr. President. We're talking about OPEC.
Councilman,
we're talking about health care. We're talking about benefits.
Please.
These are costs to the
councilman,
taxpayers.
You've had your time, please. I'm going to ask them to answer your question, but just talk about what is in the OPEB in front of us in the budget at this time.
Well, we're speaking, the councilman's questions address the concern that the cap on fire union employees' health care was decreased from 10% to 5%, yet we have an 8% increase in health care premiums going forward into FY24. That is a blip on the screen. Perhaps with the experience of COVID, you know, the healthcare market has, the cost market has stabilized, and going forward, we don't expect to see those that size of an increase in future years. So therefore, the 5% number is more of the norm than it is the exception. So that's where we expect to be.
So how does that reduce the burden to the taxpayers? It doesn't. You know, we talk about the OPEB funding thing, and you know what a great idea this is to do that. So I did a little checking because
you have 1 minute, Councilman.
Massachusetts was discussed previously, and when I looked into, I believe it was Framingham. Framingham currently has 10 to 12 million in their plan, 10 to 12 million, and they can't meet the stress test. It's not enough money to discount the bonds. If this city wants to reduce the costs and eliminate the need for funding that OPEB plan that may come to fruition or may not, then you need to get serious and start addressing the out-of-control costs on healthcare, pensions, cap on prescription drugs, and free healthcare. That's what you need to start addressing. That's going
Time's
to produce
up,
Councilman. Real savings.
Time's up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, Director. Director, if you would look at item 75158, healthcare municipal, does that include the city council healthcare?
Yes, they would be in healthcare municipal.
Thank you. Is the healthcare option for municipal city council? As a member of this city council, I consider myself a part-time worker. I do go to work every day at another job. Do we offer health care to other part-time workers in the city?
No, you have to, other than elected officials, you'd have to be work a regular schedule of over 20 hours a week, every week.
So as an elected official, we can debate that that's debatable, whether we work under or over 20 hours a week. But we're talking the budget here now. So in this budget that I'm looking at, I see that healthcare for municipal does not include part-time workers that work for the city, whether it be seasonal or otherwise, but it is for elected officials. That are they mandatory to get the healthcare? Is it required that I, as a council person, an elected official considered a part-time position where I meet twice a month and except for on budget season, do I have to opt for that healthcare?
No, you don't.
Thank you. I know I'm asking you questions that I think we all already know the answer to, but I just want to give that. But it is offered to us, and there are members who would like to get that health care or do opt to take that health care. And it doesn't matter who they are, it's just, it's there. And that's added to budget code 7-5. Those members that get the health care, that is added to budget code 75158. I'd like to take this moment because it is also in the budget code of healthcare fire 75162, healthcare police 75160. This is a statement and a rebuttal to my colleague's comments. I pay for life insurance as a human being with the hope and the gamble that my family would never need to collect on it. As my spouse pays for life insurance on the hope and gamble that I will never collect on it. When we approve these contracts, the way I look at it is we are asking our police to potentially go into very dangerous situations. We are asking and requiring our fire to go into potentially very dangerous situations. And we pray every day that that potential situation never happens. But if it does, I, as an elected official, so I'm going to answer the question of why I approved those contracts and why I voted down, because one, I do believe that the ordinance that was going for was not proper because it is a collective bargaining issue. But two, I want to ensure that the fire and the police that I am asking to have my back know that we as a city have their back. And that can go for the teachers as well that go into classrooms full of Petri dishes. That can go for our municipal employees who have, Lord only knows who's walking in front of them. I want to ensure that they have that insurance of the what we hope doesn't happen, of the possibility that does happen, and they're protected in the future. So I thank you for that, for those statements, for answering my obvious questions. But the cost is shared by everybody, including members on this council. The expense is shared by everybody, including members on this council. But the reasoning is very simple. We are recruiting and looking for the best people to serve our city. And if there's a price that comes with this, and I just want to finalize my statement by saying this. And I thank you for the time, Mr. President, to my colleagues and to the public. The point of the statement is this, is that as we're looking at this budget, as we're assessing this budget, as we're trying to figure out everything, we as a municipality are trying to figure out how to spend the money and take care of our employees, where I see healthcare as a much bigger issue above our heads. We are a municipality. We are at the bottom of government services, if you think about it. Federal, state, municipality. Healthcare, as we've heard for well over 40, 50, 60, 80 years, is a national issue. That doesn't mean we turn our backs on those that we are trying to look out for and look out for us. So that's the end of, thank you, Mr. President. I thank you for the time.
Councilman Sinapi.
Just had a question on line 75-169 for dental municipal. The budget for 2023 was 317, year to date was 240, but then projected for 2023 was 88, and then proposed for 2024 is 83. I was just wondering if any of those are in error or if that's all supposed to read that way, although I'm not sure if that's even possible for the year to date and the projection.
I'm going to defer to my more intelligent colleague on this.
If you look at all of the dental, the three different categories, fire, police, municipal, I think you'll find that they are consistent with what you would look. And I'm concerned because I've seen the totals, and the totals did not increase 8%. So I believe, and we can confirm this tomorrow, that part of the municipal, where you see the decline, you see a big increase in the dental for fire. And I think we've got some people classified in the municipal side that, in the fire side, that should have been municipal. We can confirm that in the morning or tomorrow.
Yeah, and to be clear, my my question's only in regards to the dental dash municipal line, and I'll keep an eye out for any communication from you in that regard. Thank you.
Any questions from members of the public on the employee benefits, page 51, budget? Any questions from members of the public? Councilmember Lattiser, I ask you to be brief. This is your third time speaking on this.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. President. As a rebuttal to Councilman Howell's comments. I'm one of the council people that you're referring to that accepts the health care benefits. You're absolutely correct. Do I consider this a part-time job? No, never have. Some people may consider it a part-time job. You may consider it a part-time job. That's your privilege. I don't consider it a part-time job. As a matter of fact, I consider it a second full-time job and always have, long before I get on the council. In addition to that, with this health care, this council wants to pass a mandatory 30, 35, 40% copay in health care. I'll gladly pay it, be happy to pay it. And as we talk about having everyone's back, I agree. We need to have the back of our employees. We also need to have the backs of our constituents, our taxpayers. And that is also plays important to what I do. So to set it clear, you said it numerous times, let's put it out there. I have the city health care. I accept it. I pay my copay. You want to increase that to 30, 40, increase it to whatever you'd like. I'll be happy to pay it. For me, this is not a full-time job. You can all determine whatever you'd like. As far as I'm concerned, this is my second full-time job. Just reach out to my 9,000 constituents and ask them. Thank you.
Thank you. Now move on to the insurance budget. Insurance can be found on page 52. Are there any questions from members of the council on the insurance budget? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. So when we talk about the insurance budget, are we also including in this our insurance with the trust? Is that part of our insurance budget?
On page 52, we have insurance premiums, deductible payments, insurance accidents, general insurance accidents, police, insurance accidents, fire.
Okay, so I'm asking, in the insurance premiums of $2 million this year, the projection $2,542,923, does that include the premiums that we pay to the trust?
This is what we pay the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust for property and liability insurance.
So it is included?
That is what this is in total.
And where does that money come from that we pay the trust? Doesn't that money come from the taxpayers?
Yes.
Okay. This is another thorn in my side. When I hear people say, what are you getting so upset about? The insurance company is paying for it. It is not taxpayer money. It is most definitely taxpayer money. We are a self-insured city. Money in, money out. What's left is extra. What isn't has to be made up. The monies that the insurance company pays, whether it be for a damage to a vehicle, a public property, whatever the damages are, whatever insurance premiums that the trust pays, I absolutely believe it is my job to defend and qualify any of those payments that are being made from the trust, because it is taxpayer dollars. The money doesn't come anyplace else. Thank you.
Any additional questions from members of the council on the insurance budget? Councilman Foley.
Make it brief. I'm looking at 2023 council claims.
That's next, Councilman.
I'm sorry.
Any additional questions on insurance? Same page, though.
Correct.
Any questions from members of the public on the insurance budget, page 52? Okay, we will now move to council claims. Any questions on also on page 52? Councilman Foley.
Thank you. It threw me. It was on the same page. Anyways, council claims. 2023, it was at 3,614. Is that to date?
That's through March 31st.
And we had budgeted for $10,000.
Correct.
Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
I'll just point out that I'm aware of at least one or two outstanding claims where the council approved funds, but the constituents are waiting for updated releases. So that number may grow. Thank you.
Thank you. Any additional questions on council claims from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public on council claims budget, page 52? Hearing none, we'll move to postage. Postage is on page 53. Any questions from members of the council on the postage budget? Any questions from members of the public on the postage budget? Hearing none, we will now move to fixed cost. Fixed costs can be found also on page 53. Any questions from members of the council on the fixed costs? Any questions from members of the council on fixed costs? Any questions from members of the public on fixed cost, page 53? Okay. Hearing none, we will now move to pensions. Yep, Councilman Lattiser.
So, with regard to pensions, one thing that I would like to
Fixed cost. I thought you raised your hand for fixed. I thought you raised your hand for fixed cost.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So we will move to pensions on page 54, Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you. Just a few things I'd like to point out, and if Mr. Schaefer disagrees, certainly can say so. Over the years, we have been averaging, or I should say the actuaries have been basing our rate of return on 6.9%, correct?
Correct.
And is it also correct that the highest we have ever seen is 6.5%?
On the assumptions or on our returns?
Actual.
Oh, we had 2 years ago, we had a 31% return.
That's not what I said. On average, I meant the average, the highest it's ever averaged over a period of years is 6.5. I don't think we've ever averaged over 6.9%, have we?
I think if you looked at the actuarial report from a year before, I think we were well over 7% averaging
that
over
was
a 10-year period.
For one year.
We had a bad year this past year, as everyone did. So
where would you think we're at today, given the market conditions?
It's right in the actuarial reports. It's pretty close to the benchmark, but you're probably right. It's just a little bit under.
And if it's under by 4% on an average of, say, 10 years, doesn't that have a significant impact to the performance of the plan?
Well, it ultimately drives contributions, because to the extent over a five-year interval, and they're looking at five-year intervals, that you're under 6.9%, there's a loss and you have to make it up on the contributions. But I think I'm correct that, and I don't have the actuarial studies in front of me with the numbers, but I think we're pretty close to the benchmark, even after a bad year in 22, after a great year in 21.
So does this budget, is it taking into consideration of moving some monies out of the pension for police and fire one?
Yes, and that's covered in the message, the mayor's message.
Right.
Yes.
So why are we taking money out of a plan that is performing okay to shift it into OPEB?
Well, because if you read the mayor's message, is pretty clear on this. When we sold bonds, there's all kinds of reasons you're supposed to do it. But when we sold bonds, and I'm dealing with Standard & Poor's, this was their big issue, that we hadn't done anything to address this liability. We'd done a great job on our pension liability. We're over 70% funded in all the plans, but we hadn't done anything on the OPEB liability. So we had Mr. Newton here in March, and because of the cliff and the fire and police one, that mortality is coming into play here, that we can move some of that money into our OPEB liability and address that. And what you have here is a plan that reduces the fire and police contributions from 20.6 million, and it would have gone to 21.6 million in 94, but instead, and you have to look at police one and fire and add that together, that gets you to 20.1 million instead of 21.6 million, with a million of it now allocated to the OPEB trust. In addition, by the message, we're also planning to put $2 million from our health insurance reserves, which are well over $8 million, to meet the benchmark for having enough money in the fund, in the OPEB fund, so that we'll meet the accounting test for our financial statements. That would just be a one-time thing. After that, we'll have an ordinance before you, and you'll be able to pass judgment on what the plan is. But in any event, we're going to need to do something to address his adopting his recommendation, which reduces the fire and police contribution by $2.6 million from what it otherwise would have been.
But Mr. Schaefer, Mr. Newton also said, and I stated it earlier, that he has not, nor has he ever, taken into consideration any other functions of the city, any other obligations, contracts, health care, pensions, sick days, overtime, vehicles, et cetera, et cetera. He does not take into consideration any of that when he makes his recommendations. So my concern is this. We don't know where we sit today, given the stock market conditions, which I think everyone in this room will agree is less than favorable. And my concern is that you're taking $5 million out of a plan for police and fire, one, that is in a safe zone.
$5 million is not a correct figure.
What's that? No. Is it? What is it?
$5 million is not a correct
what
figure.
What is it then?
I said we would be contributing 21.6 million if we didn't propose amending the financing plan. Instead, we're going to be contributing 20.1. The 16.6 plus the 2.5, that's 19.1 million instead of 21.6 million.
So
and we're taking a million of that and putting it into the OPEB trust.
So you're not, in fact, proposing on
leaving
taking
one,
monies out of
no.
any plan, shifting
we're,
them
we're
to
changing
else.
The funding plan. We're putting less money in.
Okay.
And taking a million of it, a million of that 2.6 million in savings, and a million of the 1.6 million in savings, and putting it into the OPEB trust. We're not taking any money. You can't do that. You can't take money from a trust. We're changing the financing plan pursuant to the recommendations of the actuary to reduce the contributions going forward, taking advantage of what's happening to the number of beneficiaries, which is declining now.
So that 40-year plan that was put in umpteen years ago, I believe it was by Mayor Walsh at the time, that plan
now, by
will
Mayor
continue,
Chafee,
that'll continue until its conclusion, correct?
No, we're going to amend the plan. What he presented to us was that we get to that 40 years, most of these people will be gone, and you'll have a pot of money with no claims. What he's suggesting is that we change the financing plan, moderate the scheme, and take a portion of that to fund the OPEB trust. And that's this. What's recommended here is identical to the proposal the plan that he presented to you in March.
So it's 1 minute, Councilman.
So if this condition pursues with the stock market, and hopefully the forecasts that many of the experts are making do not come to fruition, but if they do, and the stock market does in fact tank, what we've done is reduced our insurance, if you will, in those plans. And as I see it, we're taking the risk of now having two plans that are not performing so well. Is that, that's a possibility, wouldn't you think?
Well, I don't think so, because okay. These plans take forever to take place. And you talked about the 40-year plan, which I was involved in under Mayor Chafee, and the final version that we're working with now. And, you know, at that point, we were the investment return assumptions were 8%. This city did the right thing and reduced it way before Providence and some other places. That's one of the reasons we put enough money in. That's why our plans are over 70 or 80% funded. Police 2, Fire 2, Municipal. And this plan, we're dealing with an aging beneficiary base. Joe Newton identified how we can change the funding strategy and use some of that to be, finally begin to address the OPEB liability, which is the main black spot in our financial statements.
Thank you.
The programming note, this will be the last item that we'll take. We have a scheduled break for 7:30. I don't want to start the next topic. So we're going to take a half an hour break after we finish pensions. Councilman Ricks.
So I already spoke on these topics at a bit more length when the actuaries presented earlier this year, but now the rubber is hitting the road and we're looking at the budget. So I do want to revisit some of this a little bit more briefly than those more extended comments earlier. So we got ourselves as a city into the position of needing a 40-year plan because the city was guaranteeing benefits that employees would receive, but neither the city nor the employees at that time were contributing one dime into those long-term obligations. And so then here we find ourselves in a position where the city is spending over $20 million every year to dig ourselves out of that hole that the city placed itself in back in the 1970s and 1980s. The 40 years would have come to an end right around the year fiscal year 2037, because in a fiscal year 2036, we would be projected to spend over $30 million, but then it dramatically falls off. And after fiscal year 2037, we don't have to pay anymore because the 40-year plan would come to its completion. And those benefits that were guaranteed to those firefighters and police officers would be fully funded. So I think that the 40-year plan up through this point in time, I'm not looking at, and to be clear, how we got into that hole in the first place, that's just a complete disaster. Never should have happened. But entering into the 40-year plan, excellent idea, getting ourselves out of that hole and making sure that the police officers and firefighters who bargained for those benefits, who were guaranteed those benefits and are relying on those benefits, are going to get those benefits. At least as far as I'm concerned, and everything that we can do to guarantee those benefits into the future, that's something that, in my opinion, we have to guarantee that the city is not going to pull the rug out from under retirees who did their part. Unfortunately, if we can't balance the city's finances in the long term, everything gets put on the table. I don't want to see that happen. So my concern with this plan, the plan presented by Mr. Newton of GRS Retirement Consulting, is that if we divert from the 40-year plan, obviously it's no longer a 40-year plan. I'm looking at the charts. Apparently we would be paying over $15 million a year out into the year, every year or more, out into the year 2047 or beyond, potentially. I may be reading, or pardon me, looking at the chart on page 15, we would be paying that over $15 million up through, it appears, year 2041. And then by the time we get to year 2047, we're still north of $10 million per year. So instead of being done by 2037, here we are paying tens of millions of dollars every single year on and on into the future until the last persons who benefit from this have met their life expectancy. So I understand the need to address OPEB. I commend the administration for putting together a plan to address OPEB, because how we got into that hole that necessitated that 40-year plan, we basically, as a city, repeated the same thing when it comes to guaranteeing free health care without either the city or employees for many, many years actually contributing one dime into those long-term costs. That has changed in recent years, but it remains incredibly underfunded because very little has been being put in, relatively speaking, to the growing obligations. So I do think it's very important for us to get on a plan where we are addressing OPEB in the long term as well. But I don't think that the way to address OPEB is to switch to this pay-as-you-go model, steering away from this 40-year plan that we've been honoring for some, I believe, getting close to 27 years now. I think that we should see the 40-year plan through, address OPEB to the best of our abilities, and then, of course, not just take all of that money that we would have come fiscal year 2037 and well, once we get to that point, we need to be putting that money towards addressing other long-term liabilities such as OPEB. But I suppose a primary reason for my concern about switching to this different strategy is that I don't think that we can solve the funding of our long-term liabilities on balance by putting less money into funding them. So some people might look at this and say, okay, well, we really have two buckets here. We've got the pensions on one hand, and we've got OPEB on the other. And does it really make a big difference if money is going into column A or money is going into column B, so long as the total amount is still increasing? And to that I say, well, take a look at the numbers. Compared to if we stuck with the 40-year plan, over the next 3 years, each year, we would be putting millions of dollars, over $1 million each year less into funding those long-term liabilities. Now, that's really tempting in the short term. Everyone wants to free up some room in the budget in the short term. That's, who doesn't want to avoid that sort of situation that can throw a budget completely off kilter? I don't want to see taxes rise any more than anyone else in this room. But the way that we get to long-term financial stability isn't to put less money in the budget towards these long-term liabilities. So it's my opinion, and if future legislation comes before this
one
city
minute,
council,
Councilman.
I would intend to honor and stick with the 40-year plan. I would also advocate for increasing funding to OPEB, but as part of this budget hearing, it's simply not something that I could support to put less money into these long-term obligations that the city has a duty to honor to its retirees. Thank you.
Any additional questions from members of the council on pensions, page 54? Any questions from members of the public on pensions, page 54? Okay. Hearing none, I'm going to ask that we go into a recess at this time. We've been at it since 4 o'clock this afternoon. I know there's a lot of people here for the schools, but we are going to take a break at this time, and we will be back in about 30 minutes. For schools, we'll be first up. Thank you. Hearing no objections to the recess, so ordered.